doesn't have much material. Its feet, however, have some kind of weight attached, perhaps a dish of sand. That means that no matter how far the clown tips, its center of gravity never moves outside the range of its heavy base. It can't fall over. Putting extra weight in the clown's feet assures that the pull will always remain down there. Take away that extra weight, and the average will be somewhere else on the body. Punch the clown then, and he'll topple easily. This moment of science comes from Indiana University. Today's program was prepared by William Oram, with help from Stephen Gervin. There are hundreds more moments of science on our website at amos.indiana.edu. To get podcasts, click on the podcast button. For a moment of science, I'm Don Glass.
There's a full slate of Major League Baseball action underway at Wrigley Field. Now, after 2.5 innings, no score at Wrigley Field, they got underway. The Cubs and Brewers were delayed a bit by rain, starting about an hour late. The Cleveland Indians had a 4-2 lead over the Chicago White Sox in Cleveland. And not yet underway, the Colorado Rockies and Cardinals in St. Louis. Other scores, Kansas City and Detroit are tied at 4 in the 8th inning, and Baltimore has a 2-0 lead over Tampa Bay. Indiana University is still looking for a new men's basketball coach. Washington State's Tony Bennett has informed the Big Ten school that he's not interested. Bennett has called the shots for State for 2 seasons and has a record of 52-17. The women's Final Four is up and is coming up, and tonight 2 of the spots will be decided. In the Spokane Regional Final, Maryland is facing Stanford, while in the New Orleans finale, the game features North Carolina and LSU. And forward Jermaine O'Neal of the Indiana Pacers says he'll return to action tonight after sitting out more than 2 months with a bone bruise on his left knee before suffering the injury. O'Neal averaged 15 points, 7 rebounds, and 2 blocks in 33 games. That's a look at sports.
Programs on WILL AM are made possible in part by Krannert Center for the Performing Arts, presenting the return of the Kronos Quartet on April 3rd for an energetic feast of creativity. More information is at KrannertCenter.com.
Anyone following the Chicago Cubs knows it's now been 100 years since the team's last World Series championship. As this season gets underway, they're not only under the watchful eye of fans as well as naysayers around the country, but that of a documentary filmmaker. John Scheinfeld is a suburban Chicago native who's returning to the area to chronicle the 2008 Cubs season. The working title for his project is We Believe, with hopes that this will finally be the next year that fans have long hungered for. I recently spoke with John Scheinfeld about the approach he's taking to the project.
It's just sort of hard not to become a Cubs fan living in Chicago. It's everywhere, which is, I think, what makes it such a unique situation and such an interesting story. Is that a lot of cities have sports teams that people like. Obviously the Boston Red Sox fans are rabid and the Yankees fans are rabid, but there's something very unique about the relationship between Chicago and the Cubs, which I've been aware of for quite some time. And it just, to me, it seemed like this is the perfect year to explore that relationship and see what it's all about.
Did you have favorite players growing up?
Well, Ernie Banks.
Of course.
Who didn't love Ernie Banks? I would say that. I would say he just captures so much of what the Cubs are about, and that was probably my focus. I'm sure I had baseball cards and a poster up somewhere.
Now, there have been other documentaries done. Last couple of years, there was one called Forever Loyal. There was one that HBO did on, I think it was called Wait Till Next Year, about the fans and the team. This does seem like the perfect year to do a documentary about the Cubs. What kind of things do you hope to, regardless of how the season turns out, what kind of things do you hope to explain to someone who maybe lives way out in the West Coast and doesn't have any understanding about why this team is so important to its city?
That, Jeff, is the challenge of the film, is to explore that relationship in a way that it hasn't been before. I am aware of the other documentaries. I've not seen them. But they seem to be very much from the fan perspective, much like Bleacher Bums was a play about Cubs fans. What we're going to do in this film is really find a nice balance between looking at what makes Chicago unique, what makes the people of Chicago unique, and what makes the Cubs so special, and why is it that this city and these fans love this team so passionately, so fervently, in spite of the fact that they have not been as successful as one would hope? And to do that, we're going to sort of look a little bit at the history of Chicago and the things that really make up Chicago today and what make it such a special city. And we will also look a little bit at the past of the Chicago Cubs. That's been also quite well documented in a lot of documentaries. But what we're really concerned about is this year's team. This year's team is going to rise and fall on their own merits, as they should. And, thoughts and legends and curses aside, it's this team and the talent that's going to be on the field that's going to make this a great season for the club. And that's what we're going to look at. And we're going to do that we identified a core of about 9 players plus Lou Piniella, who we will in effect follow throughout the season. Going to do interviews with them periodically and just kind of see their hopes, their dreams, their goals, their objectives, how they're feeling about things. We're going to find personal stories in each of their lives that also help drive this film forward. But I think to go back to your original question, I think part of what makes this film different is that it is the first one that has been authorized by the Cubs in many, many years. I don't think these other documentaries had the cooperation and participation of the team, certainly to the extent that we are. We are getting extraordinary access to the players, the park, the archives, all of that to really help us tell a story that's going to weave together all of these elements.
Was this an easy sell? Did they easily accept this idea of making this your project for the 2008 baseball season?
No, I wouldn't say it was an easy sale. I think, you know, I've done a lot of projects with very high-profile estates or businesses. I've worked with the Sinatra family, and I've worked with Yoko Ono. I did a film called U.S. versus John Lennon, for example. And all of these people are very used to people like me coming and asking for things. And so they're, properly so, wary. You know, who are you, and why? You know, what do you want to do, and how do we know that you will actually do that? So it was a process of, I think, gaining the trust of the Cubs management and laying out what it was that I hoped to accomplish. And now, having won the trust, it's just been a great working relationship so far. They're very supportive of the vision of the film and couldn't be easier and nicer to work with. So I would say, you know, always difficult to get past that first obstacle of why should we do this. But once you do, and once we did in this case, they've been just great to us.
Me, like you, are probably sick of hearing the term for many years, lovable losers. How do you, was there a way to portray through film that we're tired of hearing this, or just maybe, you know, hope that the talent that we have, that we both think that we have in this year's team, do its job on the field, and that'll silence everybody?
Well, I'll tell you, Jeff, one of the questions I asked Piniella and the players that we interviewed was, do you believe in the curse of the Cubs? And encompassed in that question is the notion of lovable losers and the ineptitude and all this sort of stuff. And to a person, they laugh. They say, of course, there's no curse. And in although the words varied, the thoughts were very much the same, which is judge this team for what it is, not on the past. And as someone that doesn't live in Chicago and sort of coming to it fresh this year, it seems to me very clear that the Cubs are doing what is necessary to put the best team they can on the field. There seems to be quite a commitment to that, and there seems to be a commitment to really paying back the fans for all the passion that they've invested in the Cubs all these years. And in talking to the players, it just seems they're quite excited. There seems to be great camaraderie amongst them this year, and I think hopes are high. And the notion of lovable losers, I think, ought best to be left in the past for other teams. This is its own team, and it will stand or fall on its own merits.
And this won't really be necessarily a sports movie. I mean, you want to talk about the passion that exists for the Cubs in Chicago, not necessarily document pitch by pitch and big plays throughout the season.
That's correct. It's not really a baseball movie. It is, of course, about baseball, and we are setting it against the landscape of this year, the 100th year since the Cubs last won a World Series. But I want to look at some deeper, more interesting things about this relationship between the city and the team. I can liken it a little bit, again, to my film, The U.S. versus John Lennon, where it wasn't really about rock and roll, and it wasn't really about Lennon, meaning it wasn't a biography of Lennon. It really looked at the social, political, and cultural landscape of America in the late 60s and early 70s, and what John and Yoko were walking into, and to help us understand all of that, and then to understand what the government did to try to silence him. So it wasn't really about, much the same as this, is it, about baseball. It's about so many other things, because there's so many other things wrapped up in why people root so fervently for sports teams. And I'm really fascinated by that. But I love Chicago. I love the city of Chicago. And it excites me to be able to explore what it is now and what makes it so special. And again, baseball is a big part of it, but it's going to be about so much else. This film is not the worst, the 50 worst things the Cubs have ever done. That's a whole different kind of film. And what I make as a filmmaker are celebrations. And that's what this is going to be. It's going to be a celebration of the city, celebration of the team, and I hope a celebration of this great, great season.
Are there any documentaries by which you might pattern your style after, or any other? I guess when you think sports documentary, you think Hoop Dreams, but any other films that that you would use to guide yourself going into this process?
I think Hoop Dreams is a wonderful film. I don't think so. I've made a number of docs over the years, and each one kind of has its own personality, and each one demands its own style, and then I just have my own style as a filmmaker. So I will probably, undoubtedly bring that to bear here. But no, I can't look at any other film and say, it's going to be like that. I hope, just like the Cubs, it will be unique.
And your plans for the movie? I did see, I think you would like to bring it to Sundance next year.
Yeah, our hope is to get real broad exposure for the film, that it isn't just for Cubs fans and people who live in Chicago. It's really going to be for anyone who's ever loved their team so strongly and so passionately. So our hope is that we could unveil it at a festival like Sundance in early 2009, followed by theatrical exhibition, in theaters across the country or in as many cities as we can get. That'll be followed by TV sale and then DVD sales. What's nice about this, a point I'd like to make, is that this is a sort of an all-Chicago production. The DP and the production people are all from Chicago. We're using the best editor in the city of Chicago and using the largest post-production facility in Chicago. And the money is all coming, this is an independently financed film that is all coming from Chicago people who love this idea, love the city, and love the team. My partner in this, Chad Smith, has been sort of busily raising the money while I'm out doing all the creative stuff. And two of us make a pretty good team. And I think people will be excited by this film, and I hope we will do the team and the city justice.
That's documentary filmmaker John Scheinfeld, who will be spending this season following the Chicago Cubs and their effort to break a 99-year championship drought. The working title of his documentary is We Believe, and an update on the Cubs. They're now delayed by rain. In the bottom of the third inning, the game is scoreless. Mike Sola's forecast for the region today calls for cloudy skies, windy, occasional showers and thunderstorms in Champaign-Urbana. Strong to severe storms are possible with a high of 65 degrees. And for tonight, cloudy skies, windy with showers and thunderstorms this evening, then a few showers after midnight, the low 42. Meanwhile, a flash flood is in effect for Christian, Clark, Coles, Cumberland, Douglas, Edgar, Moultrie, and Shelby counties through tomorrow morning. It's 61 degrees outside our studios. Thank you.
WILL programming is made possible by Columbia Street Roastery, roasting coffee daily at 24 East Columbia in Champaign. Also offering a variety of tea and chai. Open Monday through Friday from 9 a.m. to 5:15 p.m. and Saturday mornings from 9 to noon. More information is available at 352-9713. Programs on WILL AM are made possible in part by Krannert Center for the Performing Arts, presenting the return of the Kronos Quartet on April 3rd for an energetic feast of creativity. More information is at KrannertCenter.com.
Next time on PRI's The World, the Sulu Archipelago in the southern Philippines is a dangerous place, and there's a long history of conflict in the area. Local residents say they have to have their own weapons to be safe. The gun culture of the southern Philippines and today's news coming up on The World today at 3 and at 7 p.m. here on AM 580. We're broadcasting from Campbell Hall for Public Telecommunications, thanks to the generosity of Alice and Robert Campbell.
Earth and Sky.
So I've been trying to ask the questions about whether animals feel joy, sorrow, grief, embarrassment, or resentment. But the question that I entertain isn't if they do, it's why they do.
That's Mark Beckoff, an evolutionary biologist at the University of Colorado. He spent 4,000 hours observing the behavior of wild coyotes and hundreds of hours with captive wolves, coyotes, and dogs.
Watching them and then mixing the observational data with the neuroscience really makes for a pretty tight story about the different emotions animals have and the evolution of these emotions.
Earth and Sky asked him if he thinks we humans might just be attributing our own emotions to animals.
As a biologist, I say that's just not so. So, for example, if you follow Charles Darwin, who said that the differences among species are differences in degree rather than differences in kind, one of the things that I think is that because animals are just so there in the moment that perhaps their joy is richer than human joy and their grief is deeper than human grief. And I think that is a possibility. They just don't perhaps know what's going to happen to relieve the grief.
Beckoff also said he believes animals, some of the time, know right from wrong and behave that way. His new book, Wild Justice, will be on bookshelves in 2009. We're Earth and Sky, a clear voice for science.
We're at earthsky.org.
WILL programs are made possible by the Spice Box in Bevere Hall, offering fine dining on Wednesday and Friday nights. Reservations are required. The Spice Box is managed by students in the Hospitality Management Program. More information is available at www.spicebox.uiuc.edu.
Mike Solo's forecast for Illinois and Indiana. A flash flood watch is in effect for southern Illinois and down in southwestern Illinois. It's rather southwestern Indiana from this evening through tomorrow morning. Also, a flood watch in effect for northern Illinois through late tonight. Cloudy skies later this afternoon with widespread showers and thunderstorms. We'll have highs ranging from 52 in northwestern Illinois to 72 in southwestern Illinois. Elsewhere in the region, northwestern Illinois and far west central Illinois, mostly cloudy tonight with a few showers this evening. Cloudy skies elsewhere with showers and thunderstorms diminishing from west to east overnight. Champaign-Urbana this afternoon, the cloudy skies will continue with windy conditions. Strong to severe storms possible, the high 65. Cloudy skies this evening with showers and thunderstorms, then a few showers after midnight, the low 42. Partly sunny skies tomorrow. Sunny, breezy, and cooler, the high around 50. Clear and colder tomorrow evening, the low 28. Partly to mostly sunny Wednesday, the high 52. It's 62 outside our studios. You're listening to WILL Urbana, the broadcasting service of the College of Media at Illinois. Coming up on 3 o'clock Central Time, The World is next.